Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. We could have kept going on and on and on. This is what Jeremy said. Can we go on and on and on and on? Yes. Whenever the presence of the Lord is here, we want to honor his presence. And the presence of the Lord was there at Deep Creek. I want to give a shout out to our campus, Ghent campus, Pastor David and Pastor Doug. And I'll shout out to a Town Center campus. Pastor Joel Solomon, and I believe Pastor Nina is there. And there just seems to be a stirring and a moving of the Spirit. And again, we don't want to invite him and then tell him how to move. We're good with that, aren't we? You know, we're giving the instructions to the Holy Spirit. But we want to be sensitive to his move. And this month, we want to commit ourselves to refining or asking him to refine our capacity to hear him and to follow him. And when he's going in another direction, that we will learn to discern that and move with him, because God is wanting to do something, church, beyond January. This is the beginning of the year, and customarily what we do is we make all sorts of New Year's resolutions and changes. And you know, we have the month of prayer. By the way, this is our 20th month of prayer. 20 years we've been doing that. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Church, 20 years we've set aside time to consecrate and to pray. And I'm going to declare and decree, but 22 is going to be different. God is going to thrust us in a way where what happens over the next few weeks is going to spill over into February, and it's going to spill into March and over into April. And before we know it, we will shake ourselves and say, God, what are you doing? In every service we come, there would be a sense that the hand of the Lord is resting upon us. And even when we go home, and God, for some of you, he's going to wake you up in the middle of the night, and you're going to be stirred, and he's going to speak to you. And for others of you, there are gifts. I didn't mean to say that. There's gifts that are going to come forth this month and this year that you're going to become familiar with, or you're going to begin to discern and move into, because God is doing a new thing. Hey, do we not perceive it, church? Can we not perceive it, church? Amen. Let's go to the Word of God. Our theme is revive. Say revive. Shout it out to me, church. Revive. Okay, Psalm 85 and 6. That is our theme scripture for the month. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? You can keep them. And then Psalms 119, that's my text, which will carry the same theme of revive. 119, 105, reading from 119, 105 to 107. Now, this is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms and in the Bible. There's 176 verses, and I encourage you this week to spend some time in Psalm 119. There's 22 sections with 8 verses in each section. Now, this is what's unique about this book. It is called an acrostic poem, in which each set of 8 verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And all 22 Hebrew letters are contained in the book of Psalms 119. In terms of the writer, they're not sure who wrote it. They think David did. Sounds like David. But also Ezra, the scribe and a priest, they assigned it to him as well. So, you know, either one, doesn't matter. The fact is that is there. It's for our reading and for our inspiration. Let's read. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 105. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. And I am afflicted very much. How many of you know when we are persecuted, when we're lonely, when we're in distress, we become desperate? Anybody ever been there? We become desperate for God to do something. Amen. He was desperate. The writer was desperate. He said, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord. This is what I love. According to your word. According to your word. Not according to my ideologies, my beliefs, my feelings, my law. But God, revive me according to your word. And then he finishes here in 112. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. I love this. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Now, the word revive comes from the Latin root re in vive. Say vive. Vive. Re and vive. Re means again. Vive means to live. So the word revive means to live again. Back, right? I brought back to life. Now, to revive is to be renewed, church. And there's a Greek word that really brings forth the meaning, the true meaning of this word renew. It's anakano, akanano, anakano, that's it. Anakano, say that, help me. Anakano. Anakano, come on, sister, say it. It's anakano, you know some Greek. This simply means another dimension of newness. It's the difference between being changed and being transformed. Now, this month and beyond, I'm asking God, Lord, it's time for some transformation. Transformation, when transformation happens, everyone recognizes it because they said, wow, there's something different. You're a totally new person. I mean, change, things say, okay, that's nice, that's new. That's one, there's the nails in the kanos. Okay, we're talking about a total degree turnaround in terms of a change that's happening or transformation that's going to happen in your life. I love what Isaiah prophesied to the people when they were in distress. He said, forget the former things. Say that with me. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Behold. Say that. Behold. Now, behold means to pay attention. Tell your neighbor to pay attention. Pay attention. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Can you not perceive it? Can you not see it? Yes, you're in the middle of distress. We're in the middle of a pandemic. But God is saying, I'm yet moving and doing great and mighty things in the midst of my people, despite COVID-19. And any other variant that's come down the line, I'm still moving. And the Lord wants us to know during this season, church, that he doesn't want us to look and dwell on the past. For example, when he says he's doing a new thing, he's not going to do another Azusa Street revival. He's not going to do another Welsh revival. There's not another great awakening that's coming. That served its purpose for its time. The Lord said, I'm going to do something new and dynamic in this season now. Say, we need something new. I've read about Azusa Street, and I love it. I'm inspired by it. But the Lord said, I'm great and mighty. I'm creative. I'm innovative. That which I do in the days ahead is going to outpace anything that I've done to this time. Can you believe God for that? Amen. Do we really believe it? Amen. Amen. So the Lord wants us to begin to expect that type of move from God. And I'm asking him to put that in our hearts this week. Now, this new thing that the Lord wants to do in believers and his church starts with what? Our theme, revive. Not my head, not my feet. Lord, I need my heart revived. Now, the condition of our hearts is important to God. How many of you know that? Yes. Vitally important to God, the condition of our heart. God is so concerned about or interested in our condition. So much so, in the Word of God, it tells us that we're to guard our hearts. We're to guard our hearts, we're to shield our hearts, we're to protect our hearts. Because why? Solomon said, because everything you do flows from it. Say everything. Everything. That's spiritual, emotional, physical, social, mental, our motives, motivations, values, beliefs, ideologies, decisions. They flow from where? From the heart. They flow from the heart. And again, man looks on the outer appearance. God looks where? At the heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro over the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose what? Whose hearts are fully devoted to him. See, God is not impressed, church, with our gifts, our talents, our abilities. Why? He gave them to us. I can't impress him. I gave that to you. Well, that doesn't impress me. God is looking at how we treat our neighbors, how we relate to each other, how we serve the poor, our response to our enemies. He's weighing our hearts. He's weighing our attitudes all the time. And that's when he's impressed. And when we give a response that's in keeping with his word and with his heart, it makes him smile. Amen. So God is, that's why he's after the heart. He wants to bless us. Again, even he blesses us even when we get it wrong. Is that not true? Even when our heart attitude is not right, still God is there to encourage us. So, okay, next time you're going to get it right. Hey, next time you're going to get it right. I'm praying this month that God will revive us by reordering some things in our hearts. Now, my wife, every year, around this time of year, there's this ritual that she's started where she goes in all of my dresser drawers, there's five of them, and she pulls everything out. Everything. My socks, my shirts, handkerchiefs, what else is in there? I guess I can say this, underwear and undershirt. All of it's there, okay? She pulls it all out, she folds it, okay? And before she puts it back, anything that has a hole in it or that's worn, she throws it away. She tells me, I'm getting rid of this. And then anything that I have not worn during the year, she asks me, are you going to wear it? Because if not, it's going to the Goodwill. Okay, she's doing some reorder. Then she puts it back nice and neat. And I'm talking about, boy, I come in, I say, wow, this takes all day. This is an all-day event. The next thing, she goes to my closet. She's not done there. She goes to the closet. All of my pants must be on a wooden hanger. Any flimsy hangers, you know, that break. She said, nope, that's not the right hanger. Puts all the colors, the blues, the blacks, the browns, they're all together. And they're looking nice and fresh and hanging right. She moves that over. Then all the shirts. And all the shirts have to be going in one direction. One direction with the right, again, right hanger. Okay? Moves that over. Then all the, you know, the ties must be hanging on the little rack that she got for me. Okay? She hasn't color-coded them yet, but they're in the same place. Okay? And then she's not done. She goes to my shoes. And she gets the shoe rack. And she's putting all the shoes, you know, together, making sure that they're nice and clean. And guess what? And then, you know, I come up and I'm happy. I said, oh, sweetheart, thank you so much. You put so much time in this. I really appreciate it. This is every year we do this. And I'm thanking her for it. And she looks at me, she said, and it better stay that way. Better stay that way. Okay. I'm saying, yes, sweetheart. Yes, Lord. No. Oh, no. But guess what? Church, within 6 weeks, guess what happens? It's all in disarray. It's a mess. But isn't that so much how oftentimes life is as believers? God, during a month of prayer or a time of consecration at the beginning of the year, will do something fresh and new in our hearts. And before we know it, we've slipped back into old things. And those same old things that have troubled us and have gnawed at us and have gotten us frustrated and moved us further away from his heart are back again. Well, the Lord is wanting to reorder us in such a way this year. Can we believe that? Where once he folds those clothes over and once he puts the pants back on the hanger and the shoes, they're going to stay there. There's going to be an order that's going to be maintained by his Spirit. Amen. By his Spirit. This is not, again, a matter of our will. It's by his Spirit. He's going to reorder and it's going to be sustained. Say sustained. Sustain. That's what I'm looking for. God, reorder my heart, and then by the power of your Spirit, sustain that work that you do. That's what I want to declare and believe for this year. Now, I'm going to spend the next, how much time I have? About 15 minutes. I want to share three ways or three areas that we can pray that God would move in our hearts or revive. Say that again. Revive. Revive. When I think of revive, I know Rhonda Backens mentioned this last Sunday. I thought of the word resuscitate. Yeah. And you don't resuscitate something that's dead. You resuscitate that which dies. And again, you put those paddles on it and you jump start it. Why? Because why is it important to the body that the heart is functioning? Because the heart takes life to every other aspect of the human body. You don't put those paddles on the kidney. You don't put the paddles on the brain, although that's important. You put the paddles on the heart because the heart must be jump-started in order for life. So it is in the spirit. Our spiritual heart needs to be resuscitated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when it's resuscitated and it comes alive again, every other facet of our being is affected by a jump-start or a resuscitated heart. So, Lord, number one, revive my heart for the word of God. Revive my heart for the word of God. We're returning back. And I know Pastor Dan preached a series of messages on the word. That series could have gone on all year. Just as a reminder, God is your word. God is your word. God is your word instructs me as to how I am to act. Your word instructs me as to how I am to live. Your word instructs me as how I am to carry on my life, how I am to treat my enemies. Church, the Lord never commanded us in Scripture to fight our enemies. Let me say it again. The word never told the Christians that we're supposed to be in some type of fight or battle with our enemies. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray for them. Do good to them. There's no such a thing that we're going to outsmart our enemies. Amen. We want our enemies saved. Amen. I didn't mention Arlie Nittmeyer, who was a precious elder in this place. He passed several years ago. He would come to prayer service. He would walk to our prayer service every Wednesday morning at 6:30. And he would pray. And he would admonish the church, pray for your enemies. He would pray for Saddam Hussein. Yeah. Amen. He would pray. Matter of fact, he would gather around this altar here, and he would cry for Saddam. He would cry, say, God, would you save this man? Now, that's a biblical prayer. Amen. That's how you pray. And he would weep over that. And I said, Lord, would you raise up more Arlie Nittmeyers in our house? In Psalm 119, 133, the writer said, direct my footsteps according to your word. Say it again, your word. Let no sin rule over me. Let no sin rule over me. We must allow the word of God to confront us. I love this. To disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Only the word can do that. Only the law, the book of the law, can do that. There are many examples in Scripture where people and nations were restored when they returned to simply the word of God. God told Solomon after they had completed the temple that there was one pathway, say one pathway, to revival, one pathway to restoration. Remember, they had built the temple. It was glorious. And God's presence came down so much so that all of them were laid out around the temple. Amen. His presence was so thick. And then Solomon made an appeal to him. What if? The what if. In essence, what if we sin? What if we backslide, which we are known to do? And the Lord said, God said, if my people who are called by my name would one, humble themselves. And then number two, if they would pray. And then number three, if they would seek my face. But then, see, it's not enough to pray. The church is praying. Okay. It's not enough just to seek his face, come to services and read Scripture. He said, then they must turn from their wicked ways. So church, the Lord today, he said, I want to turn my church. I want to turn the hearts of my people back to my word. Amen. I want to change behavior. I want to change. So we're living in a day where there's no absolute truths. Everybody have their own ideologies. You see this not only in the news, but even if you get into conversations with believers. It says, what is true nowadays? Amen. Is hatred a sin? It's not a trick question. Is hatred a sin? Yes. Is racism a sin? Yes. Is murder a sin? Yes. Is there a remedy for these things? Yes. Jesus Christ. But we need to be able to point to what is sin. That's important that we be able to identify what the Lord is saying. I want you, church, to deal with these issues in the midst of the house of God. Amen. A powerful example of godly repentance is found in the book of Ezra. How many know where the book of Ezra is? I'll give you 15 minutes to find it. No, I'm kidding. We don't preach often from this book. I just read from Psalms, so check close to that. You'll find Ezra. Now, Ezra was a phenomenal man of God. He was a priest, he was a scribe, and even some scholars say he was a prophet. In church, he was devoted to the study and the observance of the law of God, but not only for himself, but he spent time teaching the word of God to the people of God. God gave him a gift and gave him a love and a passion, and he spent teaching. Now, this is what happened. Ezra came back to Jerusalem in the second group, of exiles that were in Babylon. They were in captivity. And they came back to Jerusalem 80 years after the first group came back. And guess what? There was good news when they arrived, and there was bad news. The good news was this, that the temple had been rebuilt. That was the good news. The bad news was this, that sin had taken over the worship. There was pagan worship in the house of God, in the temple. They had married strange or foreign women. Now, these are, you know, I listed some of these women that the ethnic, well, the culture that they came from. Listen to this. Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Interponites, and Bacharites. Now, the other two, that's not true. Come on, you know that, right? I just threw that in there. The point is, they had intermarried, and that was a sin against the law. And Ezra took the time, and he gathered the people and the leaders around the temple. Oh, church, just get this in your heart and in your mind. Here you have this thousands of people around the temple called by the priest and the prophet to repent. And the scripture says that it was rainy and cold, and they were there day and night repenting before the Lord, and God restored them. Amen? But they dealt with the issues, their issues before the Lord, and he brought them up. They said, now the word of God is going to be the plumb line. So revival starts when we turn our hearts again to obeying the word of God. Number two, praying that he would revive our hearts for prayer. Not only petitionary, not only intercessory. I love all of them. Healing prayer. I love all of it. All these different types of prayer that we attend to hear. Prophetic prayer. Love prophetic prayer. As Pastor Jeremy mentioned, I was there just on a small segment on Friday night, and surely the presence of God was in this house as we were praying and prophesying through song. Love the prophetic. But I want to encourage us with two types of prayer this month. The prayer of confessions. The prayer of repentance. It is through prayers of confession that we come clean. Say clean. Clean. With God about our sins and the need for his grace. Amen. Church, do you know there's a time to dance? There's a time to weep? There's a time to declare? And there's a time and there's a season when the Lord calls us into a place of repentance, a place of great reflection, a place where we would invite him to search our hearts, try us, see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us to everlasting. And I believe we're in that Psalm 139 prayer that David prayed. Search me, O God. I have issues. Anyone have issues here? I have issues that I'm believing God. I'm saying, Lord, I want you to put your hands on it. Yeah. Amen. I want to see. I don't want to be a blind man. I want something different and magnificent for your glory to take place this year. But I want to give you my heart in a new way. And I want to give you a fresh yes, Lord. Yeah. I want to give him a fresh. Anyone agree? I want to give the Lord a fresh yes. Yeah. Say a fresh yes. That means a new yes. Now, the Bible says, we're going to use Ezra as the example. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping, and throwing himself down before the house of God, get this picture. A large crowd of Israelites, men and women and children, gathered around him. They're coming to repent, church. Oh, I love this scene. They're coming to repent. We're coming to come clean with you, God. They too wept bitterly. Not just wept, but I'm talking about, what's that word said, the ugly cry? The ugly cry. It's time for the ugly cry. As motivated by the Spirit of God, it's time for the ugly cry. That we would cry out to God, say, God, would you come? Would you come, oh God, and heal our land? Would you come, oh God, and remove the sin? These issues, oh God, would you come and bring deliverance to my heart? And we wouldn't just say it in words, but we would mean it. We would cry out from our hearts and we would weep over it. In our private times, we would weep before the Lord. again as stirred by and facilitated by the Holy Spirit. Is anyone ready for that? Now be careful, because he'll bring it. Okay, we will weep before, but after the weeping, the word said that weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you that when we begin to weep and we begin to confess, the word said that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all, say all, unrighteousness. So it can be a time of rejoicing, but first there's a time of weeping. There's a time of repentance, means I'm sorry, God. But not only am I sorry, I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. I'm going to stop doing it. By the power of your Spirit and by the blood of Christ, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm not doing it in my own strength. We have a Savior who tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find grace in our time of need. Amen? So we're not doing this by ourselves. It's not in the power of the flesh that we're doing it. We have Jesus at the right hand making intercession for us. We have the Holy Spirit praying with groanings that can't be uttered. How can we go wrong, church? We can't go wrong when we have Jesus himself talking to the Father about our needs, talking to the Father about our condition. And then you have the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, who knows everything that's going on, who's there to make a way of escape and to give you strength. Say, yes, Lord, I'll take that. I'll take that. So this month, let's make a common practice to confess our sins to God and to a trustworthy brother or sister. Now, this for some will be new. Find someone who's trustworthy. Please, hear me. Be careful. Test them. Don't spill your guts to someone you think is trustworthy and honest and true. Give them just a little pebble and see if they can keep it. And if you find that what you told them, Sister Susie knows it the next day, so that's not the person. Okay, make sure you find someone who can keep confidence and someone who has a level of maturity in Christ that you can begin to share your issues with. As the Lord leads you, as the Lord leads you, because the scripture, confess your sins one to another, that you what? Be healed. So not only do we have the Father to confess to, but the Lord will give us individuals here on the earth. It could be here or someplace else that you can get off of, hey, I'm struggling with this issue. Hey, everybody thinks I'm okay, but I'm not okay. Everybody thinks I'm okay, but I'm cheating on my wife. I'm cheating on my husband. I'm watching pornography. I don't want to be there. I need help. I need God to revive me. Would you come alongside and pray with me? That's biblical. James tells us that. That's find someone. It's time, church, that we deal with the issues, not cover them up. I said, Lord, take the facades off. I don't want to look holy, but the Lord is judging me as dead. As he did with the Laodicean church in Sardis, he said, you got a reputation, Sardis, you got a reputation for having it going on, for being, you know, Mr. Big Stuff, as they call it. But when the Lord said, but you're dead, I don't want to have a form of godliness, and but isn't that a holy man? Isn't Pastor Kevin anointed? And I'm home beating my wife? No! There's a way of escape, church. There's a way out of this. There's a song we used to sing, things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go. Why? There's been a great change in me by God's Spirit, by God's grace, and by God's power. The last one, number three, revive my heart in worship. Sister, would you come? Revive my heart in worship. Say that, Lord, revive us in worship. Now, being a music person, I play a little bit, I sing a little bit. I can't say I have a good voice, but I love to sing, and I sing. I make a joyful noise to the Lord. So oftentimes when you mention worship, you think that's music. It's not. It's not. That's part of it. That can be part of it. But in our culture, when we think worship, we think of coming and singing, having musicians and the band, and we're going for it. No, it starts before that. Because the word said that I enter his gate, what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, not with music. Not with a band. I enter with a heart of thanksgiving unto the Lord. My heart, when I come into his house, is overflowing with thanks and love and affection for God. Yes. Hallelujah. That's how I enter in. But I can enter my house or in my prayer closet the same way. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I bless your name. God, it's good to be here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my family. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. There's no music to that, but I'm just thanking him in my heart. And guess what? You begin to feel the presence of God come. Hallelujah. And fill you. And before you know it, you can get lost just in a spirit of an attitude of gratitude. We'll fast, and then we're going to sing a song coming back to the heart of worship to close this out. But we want to invite the Holy Spirit to revive our hearts for the word. He helps you understand, remember, and practice the word. And there's even an app that you can get called Verses. You plug the verse in, and it puts music to the song. It puts music to the verse. And that's for the millennials and the Gen X's and Z's and D's and whatever X and whatever they have now. Okay, the younger crowd. But I'm going to use it too. And man, I'm going to try it out this week. And then you're going to invite the Holy Spirit to revive your heart in prayer. He helps you talk to God in honest and simple ways. Say simple. I have to learn that, simple ways. Pray simple prayers. Nothing wrong with praying long prayers, but I found out that simple prayers can work just as good. Oh, I found myself praying a prayer. I'm going to give a quick testimony where my wife and I prayed about a situation for 15 years, church. 15 years. Started out long prayers, thinking that maybe that'll do it because I wanted immediate results. Do you not know, 15 years later, this past year, simple prayers, Lord, save. Lord, turn the heart. Open the eyes. Have mercy, God. Have mercy, God. Open the ears. Cause it to see. Lord, make a way of escape. I got a call the week of Thanksgiving. That prayer that we had been praying for 15 years, God answered. The prayer. God answered the prayer. He said yes. It was so dramatic that it's almost been, 6 weeks later, and I'm still pinching myself. Said, I'm looking at the manifestation. I said, God, this is real. You really did it. Church, in the middle of a pandemic, God's still moving. In the middle of a pandemic, God is still saving. He's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. People are still being slain under the power of the Spirit. He's still casting out devils. COVID can't control the Spirit of God. Corona can't control the Spirit of God. So we're going to get with God and move with Him. Amen. In this month and beyond. And last, invite the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with worship. I love this. Exclusively for God. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to worship prayer. I'm not going to worship consecration. It's reserved exclusively for my King and for my Savior and my Lord. Say, only you, God. Only you. I want to end with this story. There was a church in Waterford, England, who had great worship, music, great band, really going on, happening church. Folks were flocking to this church, to my understanding and my reading. A lot of young people were coming, and they were enjoying that encounter with God. I can remember, yeah, I enjoy encounters with God also. However, the pastor discerned that this something was not just right. And he pulled the plug on all the music, all the worship. And he said, when we gather, this is all I want you to bring, this here. I want you to bring your word, and we're going to gather. And after long, they began to simply tell God how good he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. Use the scripture to declare that with the mouth and the heart only. And in time, it didn't say, at least what I read, didn't say how long this went. And again, no sound system, no mics. Again, he wanted to get to the heart. And do you not know, church, when the music returned, when the singers returned, when the band returned, when the sound system came on, that was a different church. Why? Because again, they said, God, worship is all about you. It's all about you. Sorry, Lord, they repented. Sorry, Lord, for what we've made it. Because worship is about you. It's not about another encounter. Worship is not about another feeling, a good feeling. It's not about another warm and fuzzy. It's reserved for God and God alone, not for me. Church, would you stand with me?